Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the St. Louis Podcast. I am your glorious host today, Eric Brown, sitting next to Adam Ferris. Today we have Caleb Knuth on the St. Louis Podcast, and we're going to get into the weeds with him and his business. But before we do, this is the St. Louis Podcast. Each and every Friday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, we drop an episode on all major podcasting, audio, and video platforms, where we meet with the most badass people and creators, talk about business, entrepreneurship, and current events. Let's jump into it. Caleb, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I've been better. Yeah. I'm hurting from last night. Shout out Lit. I was there. I smoked two cigars last night. Mm-hmm. I brushed my teeth last night and everything. Took a shower. I woke up this morning and I still taste it.
Tarmouth.
I can't get it out of my mouth.
Yeah. Not good. Yeah.
But I had a great time last night. Yeah. Had to wake up early, did some networking. So we're going to try and push through here. With that said, let's go ahead and cheers it up, boys.
Hey, cheers. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. We needed this. That's some tasty stuff.
Is it?
Yeah.
I got to wait a little bit. It's too early.
Yeah. Wild Turkey, rare breed, barrel proof, the bourbon. It's about $45 near you if you can find it. One of the best bottles for about $45-$50.
That's good. Can they sponsor the show?
They're big. That'd be awesome.
Put a pitch out there. Maybe they're hairless.
That'd be good. Yeah. No, we need. Hey, shout out any local distilleries around St. Louis that wants a sponsorship. We would love to advertise you right here on the desk every single week, and of course, drink to it too. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Weekly.
That's right.
Should look at Switchgrass. You guys had that?
I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should get them on here, Sarah.
Yeah. I've had Switchgrass. Yep.
Shout out Sarah.
Shout out Sarah. Shout out Switchgrass. That's $100. I'll send a Venmo request. all right. So we got Caleb Knuth. We got founder. Oh, I'm on the wrong one here.
You'll learn.
I'm on the wrong one here. All right. So you're founder and owner of Set Health Solutions and Set Financial Group. Creator of the Population Health Plan. Expert in mortgage free life, which was founded here in St. Louis. But before we talk about any of that, let's go ahead and talk about the markets real quick. Meta lost $200 billion in market cap valuation. That's crazy.
It is.
$200 billion. I think the stock fell 20%.
My gosh.
19% on Wednesday. And what I saw that 98% of Meta's revenue comes from digital advertising. Okay. Nothing else that they do. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy.
It's been a crazy week for everything. FTC.
Could you imagine getting that call?
Yep. Yeah.
Could you imagine waking up to that? You woke up with cigar taste. And
yeah, he wakes up with, 20% of his market cap gone. Yeah.
That's, my gosh.
It's crazy. But, I mean, it makes sense. It's coming, right? With this whole industry, it's just, it seems like all of these way overvalued. Yeah. All of these, like, because it was, I mean, Meta was one of the main companies that made up for a majority of the stock market revenue, I think, gains this year and last mm-hmm. year. It was like five different companies. Nvidia, yeah. Meta, Tesla, and like a couple others made up like a majority of the gains.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Well, I think it's going to come full circle because you have Facebook and you have TikTok, and TikTok is under the chopping block right now.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
So Meta, everybody's like, oh, okay, we're going to, see a big spike in Meta and mm-hmm. that realm. But with TikTok having such a strong following, I think the markets they're going to stabilize at some point. I think Meta is going to come back up a little bit, and Facebook is, theoretically they're getting restrictions put on them and things like that. But that shouldn't affect all that much. I think it evens out here pretty soon because people are just kind of in like a, it's the, election, time, and just dangerous when that happens.
Yeah. Well, I guess they're all pushing this AI thing. So Zuck, he's talking about Meta's effort to build a leading AI. We got, we just said that Elon Musk essentially said that he wants people to think about Tesla not as a car company, but what I say, an AI, robotic AI company.
Yep. Yeah. It's
like. I did see, though, that I forgot Marcus Brownlee, I believe, had a video, and I don't even think it was actual AI, but I believe Tesla's creating like robots that can do like work, human work.
Like flip burgers.
Yeah.
Well, their cars are built 100% automated.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the funny thing is if they're building robots, they use robots from another company to build build cars. My buddy actually works for a company called Kuka and has been down to their plant in Austin tons of times and KUKA robots are the ones building these cars. So I don't know what he's building, but
like a automated robot that looks like you.
Yeah, right. He's going to be interviewing me instead of you guys next year.
Yeah. So you would walk into a restaurant and it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have the general manager as a human.
Yeah, maybe.
Everything else, the servers, robots.
Cooks.
Yeah, robots.
As long as I don't have hair on my food, hey, I'll take it. Like, you know.
At least you know they'd probably get the temperature right.
Yeah.
Yo, medium rare. Don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
How many times do you order something and it's not cooked the way you wanted it?
Yeah.
How hard is it to cook it to a temperature?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Or burgers. It's like, come on.
Well, I mean,
why are you overcooking my burgers and steaks? What's wrong with you?
I think they have restrictions to it. I think they're not allowed to make it as rare as like most people want it, you know, because of laws.
I'm a medium rare guy across the board.
Yeah.
Even burgers. Until
you go smash burgers just because they can't mess it up.
That's true.
They just cook through.
That's true.
That's it.
Scrape that from the grill.
You just brought me back memories of going to Steak and Shake.
Dude,
Steak and Shake back in the day was amazing.
I don't think there's a single one in St. Louis still open, is there?
I think the one on Hampton, maybe.
That's it? Just one that...
There's like a couple. No, Katie said there's one in South County, I think, too.
Yeah, Fenton. There's one out by Fenton on 30.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But the one in Wildwood, shout out the one in Wildwood, was apparently rated the worst.
Oh.
The worst out of all of the locations. Gosh. It was funny because I had a couple buddies that worked there, and they're like, this place is a shithole.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's my shithole.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care. I love this place.
Oh, my gosh.
You got a double cheese, some chili.
Some chili.
Dude, the chili there was incredible.
Don't say that.
I always smash the chili. And then, of course, you got to get some sort of ice cream shake, something.
Yeah.
You got to got to get a shake.
A little chocolate malt.
Ooh.
The Frisco melt, the fry, cheese sauce.
Dude, Frisco melt was heat.
Still remember the order.
I still
remember the order.
You guys know the menu too well.
That's right.
I grew up in North Chicago, so Culver's was where we went. We didn't, you know, Steak and Shake was not the jam.
Culver's is it.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I had Culver's, I was at Lake of the Ozarks. My grandma had a place down there, and I used to go visit her every summer. And it was that Culver's had just opened. And it was
I know the exact one you're talking about.
Yeah, the first time I had ever been inside a Culver's, I walked out, I was like, whoa, as a kid.
Yeah.
And they were like, Butterburger is the shit. I was like, what is a Butterburger? And I ate that butter. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Double Butterburger with cheese. Substitute the fries for cheese curds.
There we go.
Man.
Done.
Let's go.
We need Matt, let's put an order in for some food on DoorDash.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Culver's, if you want to sponsor you and Sarah.
Hey,
they are family, you know, or franchise owned or something. Maybe somebody will.
Now we got Freddy's coming in, though. What's up with Freddy's?
Nope.
Nah, dude.
It's good.
No.
It's okay. It's not as good, though.
It's no Shake Shack. It's no Culver's.
I think Shake Shack's overrated.
Yeah.
I think Shake Shack's highly overrated.
I do, too.
It's expensive.
Because they're
all
over now. Like, growing up in Chicago, they had, like, that was, like, the only one they had. It was, like, downtown Chicago.
If we don't get an In-N-Out.
Oh, well.
We could utilize Portillo's.
Yeah. Same. Yes. Yeah, that will take
people
over.
Drive from here to Chicago to go to Portillo's.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
We've had some flight requests where people have wanted Portillo's.
Really?
Yeah. They're, like, flying in. And they want it. Not that big of a deal,
like
but
Uber Eats on flights.
So they're trying to,
well, they want that waiting for them on like their flight.
Oh, okay.
So it makes it easy when the operator's out of Chicago, you just DoorDash the food to the airport. The airport probably pretty cold by the time it gets to you.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You can warm up Portillo's. It's still pretty good.
I mean, there's so many up there. It's probably pretty close to the airport.
Yeah, yeah. That's just
that's a crazy
flight.
Request, though. Think about that.
Yeah.
Like, but, the dude's about to get on a flight and he orders Portillo's.
But,
like,
but it's good.
It is good.
It's really good.
Yeah. I hate eating on a plane.
I haven't eaten today and I'm getting hungry.
I haven't eaten today either. And we're drinking.
Same.
Yeah.
This is our lunch right here, gentlemen.
It'll be a long
gentlemen and ladies, this is our lunch.
Day.
Does that mean, that just shows how busy we are? Or, I don't know what else.
I usually don't eat till like 10.
Or not.
I usually don't eat till like 10 or 11. I'm just not hungry in the morning. But
yeah, same.
I actually was reading something that intermittent fasting apparently for most people actually isn't good for you.
Yeah, because
you're telling your body you're under stress.
Fraud. Been doing it for too long. I'm with it.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time I ate breakfast.
I just don't like breakfast. It fucks with my stomach.
So you agree,
I don't feel
you
good.
Agree you should fast?
You should 100% fast. Think about it.
Yeah.
The only time I eat
breakfast
on the weekends,
like, at least till
like
11. 10 or 11. But I mean, if you're waking up at like 9 o'clock, then you should fast till like 2. Like if you're getting up at like 5, 6, going to the gym, drink your coffee, get your IPA work done, right? Like your hardcore stuff,
yeah.
Like the crap you don't want to do, like emails,
mm-hmm.
and then eat like lunchtime, basically, or early lunch.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
If Daddy Huberman tells me to do something, I'm doing it. You
know? Daddy Huberman.
You got to do it.
Did you see the whole thing that came out about Andrew Huberman? They were trying to cancel him.
Yeah. Can't ever be canceled.
I didn't know he was a player like that.
Though, I don't
either.
Know who this is. I'm gonna look him up.
Andrew Huberman. He's
too
like
mind strong.
He's the neuroscientist that has gone like on every podcast. Yeah. He started the whole sauna,
like the ideal sleep schedule,
cold plunge.
Yeah.
Him and Gary Brecka.
Grounding.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Gary Brecka.
Grounding.
Like, they go hand in hand.
Is he the one that
Andrew Huberman goes hand in hand with Gary?
Yeah.
I should listen.
Yeah,
to his
like
stuff,
Joe
then.
Rogan and those guys.
Yeah.
Dana White.
A lot of bro science.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes too much sense.
Mm-hmm.
That is like it's got to be true, which it, yeah. I mean it does. Even like the grounding, he talks about fasting, cold showers, or cold plunge. I don't have a cold plunge yet, but
I take cold showers.
Yeah, same.
Well, I end cold.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
I don't take a. I was talking to someone.
You're crazy if you take a full cold shower.
I was just talking to someone last week. There, I was like, they said they don't have a cold plunge, but they take cold showers, and I was like, all the way through, they're like freezing from enter to exit. I'm like,
that's nuts.
I'm like,
no.
I've done it a couple times,
nah.
And I feel like your hair gets like. Thick when it's cold.
Yeah.
Your hair is like, I'm cold. I'm gonna step up a little bit, but it all works. That like the Andrew Huberman, like you ever seen this? Yeah, obviously, you know, you don't really know who he is.
I just looked him up. Now
the ideal morning routine is basically you wake up, no caffeine for 90 minutes.
Yep.
You go straight and you go for like a walk or sit in direct sunlight. You come home, you get like a 90 minute or 60 minute work session in or a workout or something like that, something productive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get your caffeine after your cortisol levels have dropped. Sounds crazy, but it works. I did it.
That's literally what I did this morning.
I did it.
Yeah. I went to the gym, read, and then walked down my street.
Yeah.
And I was listening to podcasts.
Just once?
Well, there and back. Yeah.
Multiple
times. And then I had my coffee, and that was probably like 2 hours or so after I woke up.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get over working out in the morning.
No, I hate it.
Like working out at like 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. I just
fuels you.
I hate it.
Does it? Not for me.
Yeah,
I just get tired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to go back to bed now.
But you probably have like natural energy. Like, you know, are you extrovert or introvert?
Extrovert, usually.
Are you introvert?
No, I'm definitely extrovert.
I'm like in between. I think that.
He's like the brother I never had with the same person.
I can be an introvert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I have days where I'm like, don't even talk to me. I'm not answering my phone.
Yeah.
I'm chilling.
Same.
Not talking to anyone.
Same.
Yep.
But that's because I overload myself too.
Yeah. But I mean, like as sales guys or business owners, we probably force ourselves to be more extrovert than we actually are.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
You know, like growing up. Nah, dude, peace out. Like, I don't want to deal with you guys.
Yeah.
But now it's like you force yourself to be extrovert. But I think that, like, if you like working out in the morning, like I do, it's like it fuels you for the whole day.
I hate it. My building, you can't get up there because I, you know, all the WashU students live in there.
Mm.
It's all like nurses or, you know, in residency or whatever. You go up there in the morning, it's 40 people doing Pilates and bullshit. It's like, nah, I'm going to go at midnight.
I like going
up all night.
I like going after work, like 6-7 o'clock.
Nobody's
there. A good sunset.
The problem is, you know, if I was married and had kids, that would probably be a awful time.
For sure. Morning, once you
That's
have
what
kids.
I'm not looking forward to when I have kids and I'm married.
Your schedule.
having to force my schedule to be around my kids.
Yeah. It's a real thing. That's what I
think
do.
About it so often now, it's honestly kind of scary. I'm like, do I have a kid out there? It's just like,
well, there's only one man at this table that can tell us. How is it?
How is having kids
and balancing your schedule around it?
You have to do it in the morning. You don't have any other time to work out.
Yeah. I've never gone at past like noon since I've had kids. And I'm 2.5-year-old and an 8-month-old almost 3-year-old. It depends on what you prioritize. Some people could care less about their kids and they just want to work and they just want to do themselves. So it's like, I don't want that. That's why I'm self-employed. I was self-employed before I had kids so that I could be around for them. That's like take my business away. Don't take my kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's literally where I'm at. But it's important to, you know, like you have to do the things for yourself and for your, like, if you want to be around for your kids and play with them on the floor, then you better not be fat and unhealthy and not be able to move. Like, you know, I've heard stories of people that like have done bent down one time and they like busted their whole vertebrae in the back and they were paralyzed and like never could play with their kids. They can't pick their kids up. I'm like, dude, it's like 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Like I've heard stories from that, like 30-40-year-old guys. And I'm like almost 30. So I better, it becomes a priority.
Yeah.
You know, you can't forsake it, but you don't want to like do it during dinner time.
Yeah, and unhealthy parents are a weird thing. It's like, how do you keep up with your kids?
And how do you teach them? What do you teach them to be unhealthy?
Yeah,
you're definitely
same
not
with,
the cool.
Same with
you can't be cool. You can't be the cool dad.
Yeah, and same with money, though. Finance is, like, money's not, like, number one anymore, at least. And it's, like, to me, you know, but it's, like, if you're dead broke and or you're not achieving to, like, have something, stability, how are you going to teach them anything?
Yeah.
You know?
Sounds judgmental, but the amount of people that, like, have kids that just almost aren't in a financial position to do so. But then also, we have a ton of people on this podcast that have amazing stories of coming out of, you know, terrible situations.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I think it forces you, if you don't have kids, to a point, you really have no responsibility.
Yeah, what's
motivating
you?
Your responsibility is, like, if you really take a step back and you're like, damn, my life is hard, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, in the morning, you're like, damn, I got to pay rent tomorrow or something like that. Like, life's really not that bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that really affects you is your health or things like that until you have kids.
Yep.
Once you have kids, you full-blown, you have something to worry about, something to care for.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, when you actually can start to, not stress, but start to worry about. And then I think that is where the gears start turning.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I got to really make something out of this. Otherwise, my kids are going to have a, you know, POS dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you want to be the cool dad. You want to be the dad that everybody, you know, wants to hang around and your kids are proud of.
Yep.
So I think that's why there's so many of those stories where, you know.
It elevates.
You have kids. And then you become successful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, like, personally, I think it changed, like, motivation and elevated, like, everything. Like my business, why I want a business, how much, like, monetarily, how much.
Right.
But also, like, you could, you know, there's, like, three quadrants of people, right? Like, you either have, you're dead broke and you have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you work a lot and you still have no money. So you have no time and no money.
Yeah. Or, that's the worst.
Or you have money and time. And that's, like, the ultimate goal. That's what everybody wants, even if they lie to themselves and say, no, I'll just work a good old job and I want to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, this world's not comfortable.
Most, like, people, though, want to be comfortable. Like, if you think
about debt over your head is not comfortable.
No, true.
You know?
If you think about a circumstance, like, we're all up in arms right now. We don't like Trump. We don't like Biden. It's just a weird thing. What I was going to say, going back to about, like, having kids and things, do you find it odd when someone wants to build a business, is super successful, is wealthy, but then doesn't have kids? It's like, you know, what are you building this for? Just for yourself? Because not wanting to pass it to someone, I don't know. It's just a weird thing to me.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the opportunity to, you know, pass a lot of this stuff down to my kids.
Create a legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's weird to be, I was having a conversation last night about a super wealthy guy that owns a business here in St. Louis. He's like 60, you know, plus, still does partying, dates, you know, younger chicks. And I get it. But at some point, it's like is this what really life is all about still at 60?
Yeah.
Because if so,
there's more to it.
There's more life, man.
Yeah, it's a purpose-driven life, you know. Some people don't have, but, I mean, I think they're the ones that go to bed sad, though. Sorry to cut you off. But, like, you know, they're the ones that, like, are probably depressed at night or they hide behind that partying or they hide behind all this other stuff. It's like, you know, the richest people don't dress or look rich, right? They drive modest cars. You know, like, they're not sitting there flaunting it. The ones that are flaunting it, they're broke, man. And always, probably. More than monetarily.
We were just talking about...
can't say the name.
Someone in Miami, some people would know. I mean, it's not like they're here locally. But a guy on Instagram from Miami, you know, I'm familiar with his businesses. But, you know, he always posts photos of, like, in nice cars with nice watches. And I'm like, is that stuff? First of all, are those watches fake? Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, if they're not, you are dead broke. You are spending all of your money on this shit. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, with watches, it's not like you can rent them, right?
You don't have half $1 million of watches, but have a $200,000 house.
Right.
Yeah. Not how that works.
Yeah.
So it's weird when people start flexing and then it's like, if you have what you want out of life, what is the point of flexing? Because the only point of flexing is to show off to people that at the end of the day, you're showing off online.
Yeah.
It's not like your friends give a shit about that.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
people that you actually care about you and you care about them, they don't care about that bullshit.
Mm, yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, not at all.
But it's for fake people online to hopefully like you.
Yeah. I think, I mean, also, like, some people, at least, like, I don't know, like, and if you listen to, like, other successful people or like older people, mm-hmm. most likely, it's like listen to them and like find out what their regrets are in life, mm-hmm. you know, or what, and like none of them talk about, man, I wish I had one more Lamborghini or one more yep. Rolex or yep. one more this. Like they wanted time with the people they love, like yep. which is typically the kids they forsake because they were building a business too mm-hmm. much and not mm-hmm. spending any time with their kids, or started too late in life to maybe even be able to. And like they have ex marriages, like multiples of them,
yep.
you know, 100%. it's like, that's not like at near deathbed, you're not going to sit there and be like, man, I wish I bought that yellow Lamborghini. No, mm-hmm. you're going to be like, man, I wish I didn't right. mess that kid, that relationship up. Like that's what they want. They mm-hmm. want real relationships, connections.
Yep.
And I think, and like, that's the thing about like people in our age group and even younger, like there's like 19-year-olds doing things that like 40, like people couldn't do till they're yeah. 40, like 10 years ago, sure. you know? Like they're like, forget all that fake stuff. Let's just get to what really matters. Like some people yeah. just traveling where you can meet people.
Yep.
But connection, relationships is like number one.
100%. Here's what I'll say is you have, I mean, I'm younger. I haven't had the opportunity to have kids or anything like that yet. Mm-hmm. But never have I really looked back and been like, man, I really wish I wouldn't have spent that money. I wouldn't have wasted that money. But I'm very, very regretful of time I've wasted, mm-hmm, laying yep. in bed too long, you know, entertaining a relationship that I really shouldn't have, that yep. wasted time. Those are the things that I'm, you know, actually upset about when I look back on. But never have I been like, man, I wish I wouldn't have bought that. I wish I wouldn't have smoked that cigar. But it's also the...
I only have one financial regret, and it was a past business decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's, like, even well, then, you learn yeah. something from it.
Oh, I...
You know what I mean?
I learned about the sharks, how to get me. Mm-hmm. That's what I learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I've been there.
Yeah, not, I lost a little bit of money on that deal.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you lost money. Okay.
But I learned what I lost. I didn't lose that much money, to be honest. To okay. be frank, it was like, I'm not going to say what it was. It doesn't matter. It wasn't a lot, but it wasn't a little, but it taught me a lot.
Yeah.
Not as bad as it could have been.
Because it really taught me, well, one thing, and I was actually having this conversation yesterday. It's like you can be a smooth talker. If you meet someone, you know, once or twice,
yep.
they can lead you into stuff. But it really takes sitting down with people multiple times, having a lot of conversations to be actually, do you trust this person? Is this person trustworthy? Are they reliable?
Yeah.
Because with salespeople, a lot of us, we can just fucking talk. We can talk all day, yep. Yep. all day, all yep. night, and wake up and do the same thing tomorrow.
100%.
And, you know, I don't know.
Well, yeah. That's where it goes hand in hand, though, is having the nice things of, yeah, you know, those watches that guy has may be fake. The, you know, the cars that he has, you know, may not be the nicest of them.
Mm-hmm. Lease.
But we're sitting here talking about them.
Yep.
So, you know, and at the same time, if they are real, fantastic. This guy's, you know, got more money than, you know, we may believe. But we're talking about him. And yeah. that's what he wants.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
why people do it. And that's just the society we're in.
If you're actually wealthy, do you want other people to know,
that's
though?
That's my point. Look at, like,
to a certain point, I think if you are ultra wealthy, like an ultra wealthy individual,
like
30 million
Mark
or higher,
Zuckerberg.
Yeah. you don't want a soul to know that.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
But if you're under 30 million, I think, yeah, you worked hard. I think, and I think it gets to a point where, like, okay, I have so much money now.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the things that make me look rich aren't actually, I have done them. And I did them every single day for 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
They're not cool to me anymore. But I think when
I'm off
when
social
I have
media.
$10 million.
I am off social media.
Dude, when I have when I'm 10, not. 20, $30 million, I'm buying every car I've ever wanted. I'm buying every watch. Like, absolutely. Yeah. If we say we're not, we're lying to ourselves.
Yeah, but you buy it once and then you're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know?
Or you just keep doing it and you know.
Yeah.
The watches are cool if you like watches. You know yep. what I mean? So if they are real, props to him or, you know, whatever. But that's also the society we live in that, you know, having a watch like that, having a nice watch, having a nice car is how you consider
someone successful.
Someone yeah. successful or their status.
The most people
which is
do.
Probably not good.
Yeah. No. It's not good, but that's how we are. That's why.
And
it's not a healthy
nice
way
suits,
to look at people.
Yeah. Not at all. Right. Wear nice watches. Wear nice suits. Like, it's why we do what we do. Maybe, you know, we don't have the craziest of cars, but we try to dress as good as we can. We try to,
yeah.
you know, always be, you know, professional with everything you need to do. And, you know, I think that also goes back to professionalism. Like, you know, you wear a nice watch, you wear a nice suit. Yeah, you may not be the richest person in the world, but people are going to probably, you know, work with you more than they're going to work with some guy in shorts and a
yeah.
t-shirt with,
yeah.
A,
yeah, your reputation.
With a G-Shock on.
Yeah.
You know?
There's yeah. this real estate guy on Instagram that always makes the videos of the first-time real estate agent versus him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the real estate agent gets out in a yep. suit And then he gets out of his car looking like a slob. And I'm like, I don't understand the content. I understand the content, but also I don't. I'm like, so you're flexing that you look like shit because you do so much money in real estate, it doesn't matter how you look. And like it's like, I don't understand how that's a flex.
But that's the get to the point part where he's worn the suits, he's worn everything. That's like the, I'm been doing it for so long, I'm done with it.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
But still.
He's so rich, he can dress like that. We don't like, honestly, we don't have the luxury to walk into a room looking like shit and still get the same respect as a billionaire or somebody like that that has, you know, a net worth of 20, 30 million that they can wear, you know, Adidas head to toe, like a jumpsuit or whatever. And just because, you know, they have a track record of success and everybody knows them.
I don't think I'm ever going to be that guy. Regardless.
I will. I like I like t-shirts and comfy pants. And, yeah. I mean.
I wear it at home. If I go out, I don't wear sweatpants outside my house.
Oh, I never wear sweatpants. No, but that's, I mean, like comfy jeans and like just a t-shirt, like, you know, it's like, and sneakers. Like, I'm not wearing dress shoes when, you know, I don't know. I think it part of it's just like, do people care about that?
Yeah.
If they know you and you can get to know them and like also part of sales, if you know, like, you know, how to get people to trust you and reputation, if you have a good reputation, like people look past a lot of that stuff, you know?
I think it goes
first impression though.
At a certain level though. If you're
first
brand
impression
new,
though is super important.
Yeah, which is why I'm wearing a suit right now.
And someone like you've had it all the time, I'm sure. You're networking, you're at an event, or someone introduces you to someone and they look good. You're like, okay, this guy probably or lady probably has their shit together.
Yeah.
They probably at least are somewhat successful, have a good business, versus you being introduced to someone in, you know, flip flop shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You still have that notion, even if it's a bad notion to have. Yeah, your brain thinks that. I mean, subconsciously.
Yeah. I think it's a switch. I think it's the day that you realize that success is a decision. You start wearing nicer clothes. You start talking a certain way.
Dress for success.
We're too damn comfortable in this country.
Yeah,
100%. Like, we are too comfortable.
Yeah. Well, because people don't.
Everyone
realize
should be made to wear a suit every day. Well, every single person. That way,
and even if it's not a suit,
really,
you know what I mean?
Not really. But
we're like I saw this video, and it was a guy that was wearing like what would be considered edgy 5 years ago versus now. 5 years ago is just wearing, you know, maybe some too tight pants, you know, a really unbuttoned shirt with like a leather jacket or something like that. That would be considered edgy. Now it's like wearing those pants that are like a 65 inseam and like, you know, wearing like you know, like the Balenciaga.
Yep.
Stuff. It's like all that. It's like we're not even humans anymore. You know?
The loose wear.
Yeah.
That's the Japanese style.
Yeah.
It
probably depends on like even industry. And I think a lot of people like
some people look good like that. Some of it's fresh, but it's like, I don't know. I don't.
It depends on like what industry or like who you're networking with. Like business people, you should dress business. You know, it's called business casual or business wear for a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I think a lot of those t-shirt, like what I esteem to be one day, like be able to wear a t-shirt and jeans and not care what anybody thinks, and or I don't care, and I just, you know, I'll still have the right reputation. But it's like, to take it to that level, dress appropriate. But also I think like people want to, that whole t-shirt, that little like style is coming from an industry that like few are in, like the IT or like the I built an app industry. So like you sat in a bedroom and you didn't care what you looked like.
Yeah.
Because you're promoting the app, not yourself. Like us as business and sales guys, like we're promoting ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I do this for me. Yeah. Not really for other people.
Yeah, but it's because you want to feel confident and go and crush a sale or crush a podcast or crush a deal, right? Yep. Where like the guy,
it's like a suit of armor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that those IT people, app builders, so to say, and I'm not trying to like categorize anybody, but those are the kinds of ones, like this Mark Zuckerberg's, he never wears a suit, man.
No, they don't care.
Well, that's the other thing.
And
so
he didn't wear
everyone
a suit before he was rich.
Everyone looks at, right. They're building an app.
Yeah.
They're a technology company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's entirely different.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's
but people looking
his
at
business.
Jeff Bezos and being like,
yeah,
he's got the black t-shirt. So can I. It's like, you're
but
not.
It's a $500 black t-shirt.
And you're not, you know? Jeff Bezos.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I really do think that life is a consistent or constant, you know, ascent to perfection. And I think, you know, right now we're able to wear, you know, suits that may not be fully tailored, but we're getting there. And then once we get there, we'll get to the next thing. And then maybe we'll be wearing all suits that are tailored. And then one day you get so rich. You're like, okay, well, I'm just going to wear tailored t-shirts.
Now I got bespoke everything. Yeah.
Shout out Dakota.
Yep. Shout out Dakota. Yeah. Noble luxury brands. Yep.
Soon.
Bespoked.
But yeah, no. Yeah, he's making jeans and stuff too. So he's doing a lot.
Is that a local company?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Dakota Grady.
Bespoke.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, bespoke is a type. No one really needs bespoke unless you have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because you have a tailor and you have a cutter, I believe it is. A tailor can hem the pants, hem the jacket, sleeves, kind of taper it.
He does full measurements and then.
But it's all online, right? Like you scan yourself.
No. You go in.
Oh, okay.
He fits you.
Like a shop pair.
Yeah, he fits you. He does all the measurements, sends it out.
Yeah. That's how people should be dressing. That's like how, the 50s, 40s, and 30s.
I am nostalgic to that time period. Same. I don't know what it is. When you see, we've talked about this on the podcast.
That's why my double-breasted suits are coming back.
But the 1920s and shit, you look at New York, everyone just looks fresh.
Sick.
Yep.
Like, oh, my God. And you even look back at, you look back at, the 20s and 30s, people even going on expeditions, on Everest and shit, had suits.
Yeah.
For real. They wore suits under their snow suits. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. When I walked into the office the other day, there was a nice lady walking out, and she goes, and I was wearing my double-breasted suit. Mm-hmm.
I was looking good.
I was wearing an outfit that was definitely a couple generations older than what I was. And she goes, man, I haven't seen one of those in a while. Yeah. I asked her, what are you talking about? She goes, oh, that suit. She goes, all the ones these days are just so tiny. Mm. She was talking about the length because this one's long. It's not draped and everything.
Yeah.
And it was just it was an older double-breasted suit that I got tailored myself. And it's people don't see that much anymore. Everywhere I walked, I watched Chipotle that day. Every single person was looking at it what is that shit?
Yeah.
And it makes you stick out, Same with a watch, When I wear my watch or one of them, normally it's people are always it catches your eye, And it's that's kind of part of it. We don't need it for time right now. We have our phones and
Mine's set.
Yeah. Most people wear it for to catch your eye.
Time is always set. That's my OCD, but I don't really.
It's not 7:52 right now. I'll tell you that.
It's definitely 12:16 and that it is.
Yeah.
Now I will say that my date is wrong. I have the 26th and it's definitely the 25th right now.
It's definitely not the 24th.
No. You have to get that fixed.
But the time is right. But yeah, I wish I could go back in time and just walk through the streets of those those days. Definitely not live back then, because let me tell you, we live a lot more comfortable.
Much better. But their style was better. Even in the movies Top Gun, where they're set in the 70s or 80s or whenever that is, the way that they dress, the high-waisted pants, the polo, just even go throw the football around, tough.
Yeah. That movie's tough.
It is tough.
Yeah.
God. I
don't think there's a lot of people like that, like us, that want. Napoleon Hill, I like a lot of his books, or his, few books.
Can I tell you something about Napoleon Hill?
You're going to tell me he's a fraud or something.
He is.
Oh, my gosh, I knew it.
He's one of the biggest.
Should start a podcast called The Fraud and just promote everybody that's a fraud.
No, I don't want to be a hater, though, because then that gets annoying.
Yeah.
Then you're just that guy that talks shit, which I do. I do talk a lot of shit.
So make a podcast about it.
Yeah, that's true. But
I mean, what is he a fraud on? He literally documented other successful people. He never claimed to be successful.
He never met him.
No, never.
All those stories were made up.
Yeah.
Well, it worked.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
It's still a good book. I still like the book.
Yeah.
But just know Napoleon Hill didn't actually talk to and meet.
How did he learn anything? It's not like today we can learn about Jeff Bezos because we can Google the crap out of him. How did he research these people?
The same way now that Instagram influencers say they can grow your business from 0 to 5 million because they've done it before. They've never done it before. They just say it.
They just make it up.
Yep.
And also, You know somebody that we don't. You tell us about them. Now we know about them, and we can add some interesting sentences in there to make it make it seem like we do know them. But
I mean,
nope.
Cheers to him, because I mean, how many people that are living today were like, oh, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich book was the one that made me think different and successful.
I think that's Garrett's favorite book.
Think and Grow Rich is great.
Yeah, that's a good one. Or the one that I really like is
Attraction.
Laws of Success. Yeah, And I mean, that has motivated.
I started reading more.
That's good.
I know.
Personal
development. Do you visualize when you read?
I try to figure out what I'm reading, and I have to read a sentence 30 times. Like, what am I reading right now?
Yeah, that's how I am.
Dude.
No. I visualize.
No, and I don't visualize.
You
I'm
don't?
Like, no, I'm like, does that say there, there, or there? Right? No. I do sometimes. I try to like read a sentence or, you know, read, you know, a chapter and then look back and be like, okay, what did that actually mean?
Yeah.
Because reading words off a page is kind of useless. The best thing that I've ever been told about reading is reading's not studying, reading's not any of that. Reading is entertainment in a book form.
Mm-hmm.
And you can benefit from it, don't get me wrong. But reading 150 self-improvement books isn't going to do shit.
I think it will work. I think it's like working out your brain, though. If you do 150 curls,
yeah,
eventually, like there's a saying, you know, the best workout is one you're not doing. So doing 150 curls after 50, you're not doing anything, dude. You're just doing the same thing over and over
again.
Well,
at the end of the day, how many self-improvement books do you need to read?
No, right. You only need to read like one or two.
A couple?
Yeah.
Like at that point, you should start reading business books about processes or operations.
Yeah.
Learn finance. Yes. Learn how to.
I like process books. If it's going to be a motivational book,
systemized.
Like,
give me something I can actually take. Yeah. I don't need a Tony Robbins hoorah rah bullshit. Yeah.
You know the Art of War?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great book because it's a process. It tells you what to do. It's not like
is that John Green, right?
Robert Green.
Yeah, Robert Green. Dude, he writes some complex.
He's got a system and a process.
He's got some thick books though, man.
He's 48 Laws of Power.
Oh yeah, you should have a PhD after reading that book.
48 Laws of Power.
But I think the thing about reading, even if you only need like one of each of those, because otherwise you just get confused. If you read like one process book and then another process book, they're saying the same thing, a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing about reading that's important is it's like a workout for your brain, and you can clearly tell people who don't know how to, like who don't read,
mm-hmm.
and the people who do read when you're like networking and talking to people.
Sure.
And the ones that don't read, or you can tell they don't read because of like the way how they respond. Do they listen to? Understand or listen to reply.
Yep.
And reading just makes you like think, like it grows your brain muscles essentially, right? And it's like you can 100% tell people that don't read.
Do you think kids nowadays read? Do you know?
No.
My kid read?
Well, she's like 2 and 8 months. So
do you read to her?
Yes, every night. Almost every night. I'd be lying if I said every night.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah, it's harder now with two kids, but like we, like until this, my second one was born, we'd read to her at least 1 to 2 books every night.
Yeah.
And she, people I know might listen to this, but that's fine. But like we at our church, there's a ton of kids, and she is up there, and not by me. I think it's from like reading. My wife and I like talk all the time. Like it's like a constant thing. Like we're always talking to her before she could. But even my toddler right now, she's 8, 9 months old.
Being
she
exposed.
Can't talk back. Yeah, but she hears us talking.
Yep.
And they're around people. Mm-hmm. But like it's like constant talking. It just makes their vocabulary grow quicker. Yeah. I think, you know.
I think it's very odd when someone that even though they can't, it's like talking to a dog.
Yeah.
You know, they can't talk back, but you know, they understand some of it.
Yeah. That's the thing. And it's like, it's like cues. It's like, you know, they just get it, you know?
I think the earlier you start, the better. I
just
like
I'm
going to say this, I'm going to get some shit for it, but any of the, you know, the Tate brothers controversy aside, the one thing that they are is so well read.
Hmm.
They know a lot about almost everything.
They do know a lot.
Yeah. They know a lot because of, I mean, their dad was a grandmaster chess champion or some shit like that.
They're smart.
They are very smart. That is not.
But they use their power for the bad.
For bad things. But
people love
if
Tate.
You could
I
have
don't...
a parenting, if you could have a parenting style that was basically forming your kids to be more similar towards that, you know, being well-read, I think that's insane. I think we need to do that.
Well, being well-read is also just being able to talk about stuff.
Right.
Have you ever sat down with someone and you start talking about things and they just they don't have anything to say?
Yeah.
They have nothing to talk about.
It's like, all right, I'm out.
And you're like,
I have a hard time not, like, talking.
Yeah. And you sit down with someone and we might have had a few episodes on the podcast that were never released due to this, but it's like you're talking to a brick wall.
Yeah.
You can't get, there's no feedback. It's like, I'm talking, you give me one thing back. You have nothing to say. It's like, this is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't read.
Yeah.
That's my thesis.
Did you know that there's some people that don't even have thoughts in their brain? Like they don't think to themselves. Imagine that.
I mean,
imagine at night, you're
Napoleon
not even.
Hill calls them drifters. You ever read his book, Outwitting the Devil?
I don't think so.
There's a huge story. You should bring that up a different podcast, not this one, but there's some stuff about that. Like he didn't release it for like 70. Well, he died, and then like his like niece or something released it like 70 some years after he died,
mm-hmm.
and he basically predicted everything. like he if the transcripts, the original transcripts were released like in like the late 80s or 90s, I think, if I remember. And it's called Outwitting the Devil. And one thing he says in there, which like just opened my eyes, is like he calls people drifters. Like you're either living and you're a thinker, mm-hmm. which is most businessy people.
Yep.
Or people that just want more out of life than just the basic following the rat race, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it's really just like being high, more or less.
Well, there's a whole other level of drifting now than probably what he experienced, you know, but he wrote this in the 40s or 50s.
38.
After World War II, or right during World War II.
Yeah, during it, yep.
Yeah,
it's kind of like bots, if you were, like NPCs.
It was considered too controversial to be published in its era.
Yeah, think about it. And he predicted like the school systems, all the stuff, but he talks about like people being drifters, and it's like, that's just
like an NPC.
So Napoleon Hill, though, you got to give it out. Dude's smart as hell.
Yeah. Even if he is a fraud, like
yes, correct.
He was a good fraud.
Correct.
Like he wasn't stupid.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just obviously looking back, he never thought that there was going to be an internet or anything like that that we're going to be fact checking him. So it's not like he ever knew.
But how do we know that that's not a fraud? You know.
There's been stuff that's come out. It's like, it's like he didn't meet with all these guys. Why the fuck is Robert Carnegie going to meet with Napoleon Hill?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's like me.
He didn't have anything. It's like you reaching out to Jeff Bezos right now and be like, yo, can I write a, can you mind if I have a chapter about you?
Yeah.
I'll fly out to you. Maybe he would, but
some of those guys probably had to, like Ford, because he talks a lot. He talks more about Ford than anybody. He had to at least know Ford or talk with him. Because he's from Chicago and Ford was in Detroit. That's pretty close. But all these other guys were like way on the East Coast, you know?
Absolutely.
I don't know. But I mean, if he's that just means he's a good sales guy. I mean, people BS all the time, you know?
Yeah. Being well-read is important.
So,
speaking of being well-read, do you, like when you were doing all your mortgage insurance stuff, did you have to read a bunch of stuff? Or you know how when you go to law school, you got to just read tons of books, tons of dialogue, stuff like that? Did you have to?
No, it's a pretty quick class. Like it takes like couple days to do and then you're done forever. Yeah.
What got you into that,
in the insurance?
Yeah, just like, I mean,
yeah, that's
starting
a long
set life and everything like that.
Yeah. So I've been doing it since I was 19, so, or 2017, I think I was 19 or 27 now. So so basically I got into it, so I was living in Chicago and was working for a dealership, and then I also had like my own car towing business on the side, so I would transport like race car bodies all across America. I've been to like every state almost.
Sick.
And I did that between 17 and 19. So for 2 years, I was working 100 hours a week from Saturday night till Monday morning. I was on the road transporting race car bodies.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get involved in that?
Before in high school, I worked at this dealership called Nielsen Enterprises.
Okay,
and they're a big mid. They're in North Chicago. They're a recreational dealership, so like ATVs, mm-hmm. jet boats, jet skis, things like that.
Yep.
He was like my second mentor. Oh,
jet boats are sick.
So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Dude, having one of those would be awesome.
Yeah. So they taught me a lot. So I was working for the owner of the company. Like basically, I was like, you know, just doing whatever he said all day. And I was like a porter and all this stuff. And I grew up.
Yep.
So I became the transportation guy for that. So I would deliver like jet boats to all these people. I've been to like, I could drop names of whose houses I've been to in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Like the owner of the Cubs, the owner of River Casinos, Groupon. I've met him before.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of people. Huge
shout out Groupon.
Yeah And he wasn't even the biggest guy I've met. So I would drop all these jet boats off at their lakefront houses, multi-million dollar houses. Anyway,
yep.
So I got really good at being like a transporter, and people trusted me to transport their expensive stuff. So then the body shop guy at that dealership was like, hey, he would race like funny cars on the weekend. It's like a car that you're supposed to crash.
Yep.
Basically.
Yep.
So he would race those on the weekend, so I started getting into that, just hanging out with him. And he was like, hey, I got this body in Pennsylvania that I want to, it's a mold. He's like, can you go pick it up? I'm like, yeah, sure. $700. He's like, done. So I drove out there. And when I met that guy, he's like, well, Craig's not my only client. I make these molds for like people all over the country, and it's impossible to transport these things. Semis won't do it. They're fiberglass.
Mm-hmm.
Like two guys can pick this whole car body up.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, well, I'll pick them up. I'll take them. And just kind of evolved to that. I did it for 2 years. So I would drive out there one weekend and pick up one to two car bodies, and then drive them back, keep them in my garage, work all week at the dealership, load up, and then drive and deliver them to all the customers like throughout the whole Midwest.
So what'd you deliver them on? Did you just have a trailer?
Yeah, I had a big I had two trucks. I had a big Chevy truck, diesel truck or whatever, and then I had like a big enclosed 24-foot car hauler.
Mm-hmm.
So I could put like, the car bodies are like, they're like a table.
Yeah.
Like they're as light as a table.
Really?
So you could like stack two of them like this.
Interesting.
So I'd go like, I've been all over. I take them to Arizona, Florida, Nebraska, middle of nowhere, Minnesota, like all over.
What's your favorite state?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Don't say St. Louis. You can if it's your favorite.
To be honest, I don't like Missouri as much. Like, I can't leave now. Like, we have a huge family here. Yep. Like everything. Yep. I'll never leave. But like, it's not what I grew up in. So like, I don't know. I like Wisconsin, like the nature side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Chicago hustle.
Yeah.
That's like in my blood. So St. Louis is kind of in between it. I don't know. Yeah. Not really. I don't know if I have a favorite state.
Where is the hustle in St. Louis?
Yeah. Yeah.
For real.
That's how Columbia. I moved.
Is Clayton, that it?
Probably. Clayton. But that's a different class, probably. When I lived in Columbia.
That's really it.
Yeah. But when I lived in Columbia, Missouri, it was like everybody was a startup and it was like.
Shout out, Mizzou. I went to Mizzou.
Yeah, me too. But it was so low. Like, it was so. I don't know. It was just a different environment. Everybody, it was more entrepreneurs than entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. Like, it's all college students.
Yeah. And it was like, or I got an idea. College students, yes. Know, to mold, like to do this and do that. It's like I don't know.
It's everyone just, has it, a I fucking idea. No one has there. The balls to execute.
Yeah, I was not getting the vibe to do it.
Shout out us.
Yeah,
that's right.
And there were like hard clients. It was a weird place to get clients too, because like 90% of the population worked for the university.
Yeah,
there weren't that many small. If they were small businesses, they were like small businesses, like mm-hmm. a painter. Like the husband was painting, and the wife and was like a nurse yep. or a university yep. teacher. Mm-hmm. So it was just a weird dynamic, and I was like, I'm out of here, and then. I didn't know where I was going to move, but I met my wife like the month I was like, I'm going to peace out. And then I met her. I'm like, okay, I'll stick around. And then I moved to St. Louis.
Who do you work for? Or did you do insurance in Columbia at all? Or
yeah. Oh, yeah. So after all that transportation stuff, so I sold that, all my trucks. I had two trucks and three trailers. So I sold all that in like 19, or early 19. Mm-hmm. And I was in college at the time too. So I was taking like night classes, just a few throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to get rid of all that. I'm going to go into business. Prior to that, I had a dream to go in the military, and I busted my rib. I got kicked out basically, so I couldn't go in the military. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go to college.
So all you have to do is bust a rib, and
yeah, me and my, yeah, I did, yeah.
You're out of there.
I fell 40 feet from a zipline, and like it still popped out.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, how'd you fall from a zipline? You're supposed to be strapped in.
No, I was. It broke. Like the wire snapped.
From the military? Like while you were in it? Or
no,
like
it was
on a trip.
It was on a trip. Yeah.
Damn. But, yeah. So you could have got a bag for that.
Yeah, my recruiter was not happy.
Where were you at?
Yeah, he's like, you should have fallen.
I was back at home.
This was in Columbia or in
no,
Chicago?
No, this was in North Chicago. Yeah.
Did you sue the company?
Hey there, St. Louis podcast listeners. We've got some exciting news from our sponsor, Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, led by the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Lee. Mark Lee of Farmers Insurance is recruiting agency owners here in St. Louis.
That's right, Garrett, and everyone knows what Farmers Insurance is, and if they don't, they will now.
Yes, it's kind of a household name. That said, as many of you know, a large part of our audience is made up of badass business owners, entrepreneurs, and top-producing sales professionals with an open mind like yourself. Farmers Insurance is currently searching for driven individuals who aspire to own their own business or already own their own business and want to add another income stream to join the Farmers Insurance brand and own their own insurance agency.
This is a stellar opportunity to build your own insurance agency from scratch, take over an existing agency, or if you're just a slow roller, we know you, the guys out there and ladies, get paid to train under an existing successful agency owner before starting your own.
Holy shit, Eric. That means that whether you have experience as a business owner or you've never heard the word business before in your life, there's a pathway to owning your own business through Farmers Insurance Agency led by Mark Lee.
That's right. You can become a Farmers Insurance business owner even if you've been homeless in the past, just like you.
Yeah, thanks.
If you've ever dreamt of being your own boss, building a team under a reputable brand, and making a difference in your community by offering top-tier auto, home, and commercial insurance to consumers and businesses in your area, Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, led by the godlike man himself, Mark Lee, has the perfect opportunity for you.
Visit insurancecareerstl.com to speak with Mark Lee, the district manager of Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, to become a Farmers Insurance agency owner today.
Did you hear that, St. Louis? Go visit insurancecareerstl.com. Insurancecareerstl.com. That is insurance. Career, careerstl.com.
To become a business owner today. Again, one more time. Visit insurancecareerstl.com today, right now, this second, or reach out to us at stlouispodcast.com and we'll introduce you to Mark Lee ourselves. And I promise he won't spell out insurance and career to you.
Now back to the show.
No, I mean, it was like a little private, the guy was storing my chucks, actually. So I stole my chuck. So he was storing my chucks at this farm, and there was like a hayride thing, and I would zip line over. I was like 18. I was 18.
Sure, sure.
So I'd be zip lining over. I was like 7 months in the military and busting my rib out. My recruiter was like, all right, go back to, so we had to go back to MEPS, and I got kicked out, basically. Not kicked out. I got honorably discharged. Sure. I say kicked out because like people think you're a veteran. I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I'll never claim that.
Yeah.
So.
So. What makes a veteran? What if you're in for like, what if you're in for a couple months? What if you're in for one day?
Did you go through basics?
Yeah. So, and I did get to keep my ID for like 2 years. It expired like right when I moved to St. Louis. So like,
can you get VA assistance though or anything like that?
No. And I don't know if I like waved it or something weird. I don't know. People always tell me like, no, you should have. And I'm like, no, I never got nothing. I don't even want to be now knowing what I know. It wasn't my, that was
exactly.
The military was my escape out of the little town I grew up in.
Yep.
And I didn't know about like business and that I could just move. Like it was like, okay, you go in the military or you work at that town.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a small town north of Chicago. So it was small at the time. And so I got kicked out of that. Long story short, did transportation, got back into that for like another year. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to move to either Ohio or Mizzou because those are the two offers I had for going to college. And they were like super flexible. I could pick my own curriculum. And so then I knew people that were going to Mizzou. Randomly chose that.
Mm-hmm.
Divine God meant for me to come down here, clearly.
Yep.
Ohio, I don't know who I would have met out there. But at the time, one of the guys I would drop a boat off for, his name is Steve Shapiro, solid guy.
Shout out, Steve.
Yeah, he wrote me like a big email and said like, you know, you should get into insurance. And I told him, hey, I'm thinking about getting into health insurance. I'm going to go sell it door to door. I think I'll be really good. He said, listen, and he wrote me a simple email and said, stick with it. He was a chairman of the largest semi insurance company in Indiana. So he was a chairman.
Okay.
Okay. So this dude, whatever he said, it was right.
What year was this?
It was 18, 19. I moved down here in 19. So
was it the Wild West still in trucking or not really then?
I don't know anything about trucking.
Okay.
He just was the chairman of it and
Got
he was
it.
Filthy rich.
Got it.
And he owned a big investment company. So I would take his jet skis to him every summer.
Okay.
And he would like tip me. And I started doing this when I was like 16. So I like grew like for like 3-4 years. Like I see him every like 2-3 times a year. He always tipped me really well. He always like, you know, showed me like, oh, you're not a cocky rich dude. You're a nice, respectful, rich dude.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I knew he was in insurance, so I was like, well, I'm going to do what that guy does. So I started looking for jobs in insurance. I should have asked him for a job. And then I met this guy who I still work with, Joe and Eric, and they own a huge health insurance company. And it was based in Chicago. So they're like, okay. So they trained me for like 3 weeks, and then by then it was like August 7th, and I packed up my truck and trailer, and I moved to Columbia and started knocking doors. Wow. So I had no, like, nobody plans to get an insurance, you know?
Door knocking's fun.
Yeah, yeah, but it builds a backbone, and I think that's why I've been doing it a lot longer than most. Like, most people, the turnover rate in, like, any sales position, but especially insurance, is super high because it's such an easy barrier to entry. It's, like, a couple $100 to get your license, and they promise the world to you, and they show you Rolexes and Ferraris and all that crap. And
I was a insurance agent for a little bit.
Yeah, and so no offense, but right, you guys are boom, peaced out, right?
Property and casualty, yeah, baby.
Yeah, I think
industry sucks. By the way, yeah. Sorry for anyone that does that, because the only thing that matters is price.
Yep. Yeah.
Literally,
that's why
your friends and family will not buy from you if you are not cheaper.
Yeah, 100%.
And no offense, neither would I.
Yeah.
And if you're not competitive, you're done in that industry. Yeah.
Or like just a boss networking marketing guy, which I'm not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how these State Farm reps do so well. No offense, State Farm.
Dude, and they
State
got Farm, overhead.
Like if you have State Farm, you're probably paying more than you should.
Yeah. And those big franchises,
they cover 50% of Missouri or something like that.
Yeah. But those big franchises, you have to have like a whole overhang. Like I started out in my a studio apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a picture on my phone of like I had a desk smaller than this, and that's where I started selling insurance.
But how much was the studio apartment?
$700 a month.
Because the ones going up in the Foundry,
Over here? Yeah, but those are nice. I lived in Columbia studio apartment, college
like,
housing.
They're like 300 square feet for like, they start at like 1500 for one person. I'm like, who?
Yeah.
The bigger one bedroom is like $2,000.
This was also 7 years ago. It was like $700 a month for right down the street from Mizzou. And it was college housing. So I had like a pool, a gym, everything was covered. $700 a month, done.
Oh, I know the place you're talking about.
Yeah. There's all those little, like, I live in
You had the pool on the rooftop? Right next to campus bar?
No. That place was Swoozers. No, I ain't living there. Mm. It was up 63. It was like right across the street from the campus.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was like cheap. Mm. And I had my own car. I didn't have to live on campus. I was 2 years into college when I moved there.
Yeah.
So I was just going there for the classes and the
cost. So you never lived in a dorm?
Nope.
I will say one thing.
I never did either.
Dude, you...
But you missed out on networking doing that.
Living in a dorm was... People had bad experiences, but I thought living in a dorm was great.
Yeah.
It's... You, like, live next to a shitload of people.
Yeah. We had
like
networking.
You meet all of your neighbors. You become friends with them.
Yeah.
Like, you see them every day for 9 months.
Yeah.
You got your doors open.
Yeah. But you were like you went there as a freshman.
Yeah.
I went there as a freshman, sophomore, junior, as a junior, essentially.
Nah, junior, you can't be in there.
That's what I mean. So, like,
that's weird.
It would have been
like a super senior.
Yeah, it would have been weird. So, like, I was also like, I didn't go there for, I probably should have networked a lot more or whatnot. But, like, I went there to get my classes and like, do my business. Like, I was full focus on doing my business.
I wish I would have done Mizzou better.
Yeah.
I had a great time. Don't get me wrong.
Were you there all 4 years?
Yep.
Oh, so you have like an extra degree.
Yep. Partied it up.
In what?
Health science.
Health science?
I got a Bachelor of Health Science.
Is that like?
So I was originally going to school to be a physical therapist because my whole mom and two aunts are physical, occupational, and speech therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's decent money in physical therapy.
Yeah.
And I was going to school for that because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
By the time I knew I wanted to be in business junior year of college, you know, you go to talk to the business advisor and they're like, you don't have any of these core classes done.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to, you know, spend an extra year and a half for more than you would.
Yeah.
And by that time, I was finally starting to understand that I was getting bamboozled.
Yeah.
At Mizzou.
That's a nice way of saying
it. My degree is entirely useless.
Yeah.
Bachelor of Health Science is not going to get me anywhere.
Yeah. Nope.
All it really shows is that I went to school for 4 years and I can be smart enough to pass some classes and get a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I was born, thank God, with somehow a good ability to take tests, understand shit quickly, and kill it on tests.
That's good.
So I didn't have to go to class very much.
Yeah,
which
you're
I
one
didn't.
Of them. You're one of them.
I was. So my buddy had a Battlefield. What was the Battlefield out then? Probably Battlefield 4.
Oh, like the video game?
Yeah. And I sat at home for junior year for like 3 months, and I got his character like level 200 on PlayStation 3.
When you could have been hanging out and meeting people. And
Yeah. And doing anything else.
That's like we were talking about before, wasting time. That probably was a waste of time.
Massive.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
You're stupid at 19.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I went to school, and I think now looking back at it, if I would have been working in like somewhat legitimate job, because I was at Panera. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
Food is food.
Yeah.
It's not.
St. Louis Bread Co., you mean?
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I didn't know it was called that until I moved down here. Like in Chicago, it's called Panera Bread. Like,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah, I think one thing like
I don't know where
if you were in like a different setting, you might have learned quicker or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Sorry, so
that's where I think I got lucky.
But so I learned a lot from my dad. He owned a business, but I guess when it comes down to it, I was always told to go to college. Like, were you always told to go to college?
All of our parents told us.
I think
that.
My parents knew I was never going to do it, so they told me you can go to college, but it's not going to go well.
they
were right.
They knew.
So why weren't you good at school? Did you not try?
Why wasn't anybody not good at school? They just didn't want to be.
Usually they don't try. Huh?
No, yeah, I didn't try. Wanted to do other things. I didn't need to know geometry to make $1 million. Yeah.
Well, I think it's still crazy that you go to school, you still have to take biology. It's like, why can't I go to school and take the classes I need to get the degree?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is that there's people that graduated, and I'm only 22, and I'm not going to, you know, absolutely shit on people I went to high school with, but there's people that I went to high school with
sure.
that they graduated, they graduated college with a, you know, finance or business degree, and they're working at Home Depot.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know. Yeah,
I know multiple people. Home Depot. I'll see them at, you know, Dick's Sports, or say they get a, you know, good job. It's a 50 grand salary. So you just and you know, starting out,
they're
whatever,
drifters, man.
You know, 50 grand. And then they go ahead and, you know, in 10 years, they have the opportunity to make 100 grand. In 10 years, they can do that. Mm. They're like, well, that sounds amazing. Then I can go, you know, buy a house. And the kid's like, you're going to wait 10 years to be able to do that? Nah, I'm all right. And that's where my dad was like, I mean, we joke all the time that I saved him so much money going to college. He's like, he would have just wasted it.
Yep.
100%.
I mean, my money, the return on investment I got was 100% not there. I'm still paying for it.
Yeah.
Even like network people, you know.
Dude,
a lot of the people I went to high school. I hung out with a lot of St. Louis people. Like, I met other people, but
being honest, you're not going to meet
the
as
problem
many people.
With Mizzou and being from St. Louis is there's a ton of people there from St. Louis
or Chicago or Texas.
I think it would have been way more valuable to go to, you know, you have one friend. You pick a college that's completely, you don't know anyone there.
Yeah. For sure.
Go somewhere else. Have an experience. Like Mizzou, it's still Missouri.
Yeah.
It's not a change of pace. It's the same fucking scenery.
Yeah.
I wish I would have gone somewhere else. But also at the same time, hey, looking back, I had a great time too. So I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
it's
not
a great
unhappy.
Time, but it's not beneficial if you want to consider.
Yeah, like you could have gone somewhere to meet.
It's 4
new
years
people.
Of having a great time.
Yeah.
I didn't do
really
college right.
College for a network.
I didn't do college right. Yeah. But I also can say I probably didn't do it that wrong either. Cuz there's people that do it way worse than me.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. You walk out of you graduate with 6 DUIs and a couple of arrest records.
You no job right. Like you're saying they go work at Target.
I don't know how we all got away with. It doesn't matter.
Well, Mizzou is a dry school, so.
Yeah.
They were focused on the chancellor at our time, our age probably, so.
That's right.
You I don't know, think I ever
they were
gone
focused
to Mizzou.
On him, so.
The year I graduated the year after I graduated was the year where they were having all the shit happen on Mizzou campus. And it was that journalism teacher, that famous white lady who's like yelling, like her angry ass face. You would know if I pulled it up.
What year was that? 16.
So 16.
Yeah. So I moved there 17.
So 16.
But
I
was at the end tail of all that when all the racist stuff that they were doing.
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, oh, why'd I move here?
Yep. So they.
Oh, actually, I remember that. My cousin went there.
Yeah. And then it ended up, I believe, maybe I'm wrong. Don't hate me. I believe it ended up being that the main guy that was like camping out there and like doing all of this was backed by some sort of George Soros-ish money.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Strange. Well,
that's why you don't go to Mizzou. If you're going to go somewhere, go to KU. Just kidding.
Ugh.
KU.
Lawrence, Kansas.
It was I'll tell you this.
That's where you went.
It's significantly better than Mizzou. I've been to both. I went to KU, but I've been to Mizzou 100 times.
I don't care what's better.
Lawrence, Kansas. Is 100 times better.
But you're in Kansas.
Yeah, Lawrence, Kansas.
And you're in Missouri. In Columbia, Missouri, like it's like
that's
the meth capital of Missouri.
That's Sedalia.
No, that's Jefferson County.
Yeah, Jefferson County. Hey, now.
It's pretty close.
But the nice thing about Columbia is you're like an hour from St. Louis.
You went to Eureka, right?
Yeah.
How many people from your high school went to Mizzou? All of them.
Probably like 10%. Maybe not 10%.
Yeah.
But a good amount.
Yeah, a lot.
10%.
Too many.
Yeah.
Like almost my whole friend group from high school went to Mizzou.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why we had a good
time.
I knew
only a couple people at KU.
People you knew.
We always rented a house. We always had a house. We had a house sophomore, junior, and senior year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, men's college houses,
dirty. Dirty.
Nasty.
We need a made for you just for college students.
Made for you. Yeah.
Literally. Like these colleges need to just be like, hey, just so you know, there's a subscription offering that we have to come in and clean your kid's house. Because it's always the parents that come in and like, this is
fucking gross.
This is disgusting.
Like, you have those, like, bean. Like, when I went there, I will say KU felt cleaner than Mizzou. Mizzou was nasty.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I went there
all
for
those, all the frats and shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I went there for, like, homecoming, dude, and there was just, like, the most grease ball bean bags and couches. Like, I can't believe you'd even sit on that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're going to get.
That's why I didn't. I always wonder. This is turning like a college episode. What?
Yeah.
Are frats worth it?
I wasn't in one. I don't think so.
I didn't join one because my parents specifically said they're not going to pay for it. And I was like, yeah, fair enough.
When I was there, I was in one. And it was way, if I was not in, the only reason I went to college was because I was going to be in one. I never got initiated or anything like that. But that was the only reason I went. And it's the only reason that I even stayed probably as long as I did.
Because the thing about frat, so it's not, it's usually not first generation wealth.
Yeah.
So no offense to Adam here. I love first gen wealth.
If you wanna if you wanna meet people and network, fraternities is where you're gonna do that. 100%.
I didn't know this though.
Yeah.
I didn't give a shit either. My whole belief was I don't need to pay for friends.
Yeah.
I said that.
When I look back on it now, yes, but I didn't like the people you're actually.
But
like,
you're not really paying
with,
for friends. You're paying.
Yeah,
you're paying for access, and then you become friends with the people there.
Yeah, you're paying for that, and you're paying for all the things you do. Also, the food's way better. Everything, the housing. We lived in house first year, so it was fun. But you're paying for the alumni, not the people you're actually
correct.
You're actually pledging.
But
with.
That was like back then, like Rolodex. You know, now do you need that? Like, if you want to hit somebody up, just
you almost need it more.
Maybe
if you're going to go to college, you better be in a fraternity or sorority. And if you don't, then
not go to college.
You don't need it.
Yeah,
you don't need it at all.
I wasn't in one, so I have no like, I don't know anything about them. But I think that's where I got
lucky.
Some
of the smartest and dumbest people. I've actually met probably the dumbest.
We need to get two frat guys on here.
Yeah, I met the dumbest person I've ever met.
Like nobody's business
being in fraternity.
Yeah, no, I want to get. I could say all the negative, but I'm like, I was never in one, so I don't know.
Yeah,
all I know is. My belief was I don't want to pay for friends. I don't want to be harassed I don't want to
hazed.
I don't want to be hazed. I don't want to go through Hell Week.
That doesn't happen.
Does. Hell Week is real.
That doesn't happen.
Maybe not in Lawrence.
Hell Week doesn't happen.
You can't claim that.
Hell Week is real. They were all sleep deprived for an entire week. I'm like, how is this good?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't like anyone enough to be hazed.
I don't like any group, though.
The nice thing is when you're in a frat, you're around usually at least similar people. They hold you accountable.
They do.
They hold you accountable for like your tests and stuff like that for your grades. They have
Unless
studies.
Making you get drunk
they
every
have
night.
They have all of the old tests. Mm-hmm. So they have access to like all of the old tests.
Yeah,
which if you're in college right now and you're not looking, actually I shouldn't even tell these people if you're stupid enough not to know this.
Yeah, you're gonna cheat. You're gonna give the cheat code away. Have them Venmo you to get it.
Well, even when I was in college, there was a lot of websites where you can find past tests on.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine now. Yeah. I don't even know.
You're going to get your degree taken away. They're going to come back and revoke it from you.
When I did my insurance license, now that I
it's
know I'm never going to do that
it's
again.
It's not my fault professors don't change their tests after 10 years.
Yeah.
Well,
I cheated on that entire life insurance test.
How'd you cheat?
Yeah, that's hard.
Why'd you have to cheat?
Because I didn't want to study for it.
Oh, so you just had the answers.
It was a proctored test. So the guy can see you. So I'm right here with my phone, like scanning.
I had to put my phone in my locker.
I was at
my house. You did it in person. He did it after COVID.
I got COVID rules.
Yeah.
I did it in 2020. They made me go down to Jefferson County and take it
did
at-
Did you live in Jefferson County?
No, but that was one of the proctoring facilities.
Yeah, at the Jefferson County College down there?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. You can just scan the answers with your phone and it would tell you what it was. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah,
but
correct.
Awesome.
I wasn't able to cheat, but I killed the PNC and the life insurance. I did.
That's why life insurance, most life insurance.
I didn't even have to finish
like
the test.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I mean, it should be common sense.
I know people that failed it.
I know. Me too.
Tons
I've
of
hired
times.
People that have failed
I,
it multiple
I don't know.
Times.
I don't know any of the
you're
terms.
You're fired.
What do you think?
It's like how. I don't know a single term. I don't know university. I know the names because I had to sell them, but I don't know what they do. I don't know what they are. If you ask me, like, what's a universal whole life plan?
You mean universal index?
Sure, whatever it is.
Index universal life. It's IUL, not
IUL. IUL, there we go.
See, I really don't know.
It's just
sold it.
It's just pegged to the stock market.
Yeah.
It's
whatever it is, it was easy to sell.
It's just really pegged to the stock market.
Hey, you need this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, you said you're gifted at taking tests. So some of us aren't like that. So it's like,
I would hate, I love being me. That's for sure.
There you go.
I can't take a test to save my life. I think I could study for a week straight and I'd still fail.
So in college, I would cram 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, depending on what it was. But I, like everyone would be like, I'm studying for the test next week. And I'm like, it's next fucking week. What are you talking about?
You're one of those. You're the.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're one of those.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've been studying for 3 years.
Yeah. Okay, so yes. So I was the kid in high school or college that everyone was like, I don't understand. I'm like, you don't study that much. It's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it just comes to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I don't remember a lot either.
that
is true.
So you just wing it and get lucky.
Well, I feel like that's the worst thing about school is
you have dementia at not even 30 years old.
Oh, full on, full blown dementia.
I could tell you something and you're forgetting it within 5 minutes.
I mean,
well, that's ADD. That's ADD.
Yeah, OCD. That's how I am. I'm like, I'm so focused. OCD. Everything's gonna be perfect. It's bad. I think that's where I got lucky though. Is like just going back to like not going to Fred. Is like in all the insurance experiences. Mm-hmm. Getting into health and with the mentors I did, like, not saying I would have failed if I didn't have that, just because, you know, I think I would have worked hard enough, but like it wasn't motivating enough to succeed unless you had like something that like kind of gave you a boost up, you know. And the health, like the PNC world, I don't know how people survive in that, unless you own like a big franchise but a bunch of rules.
You have to
not
if you're a single rules. If you're a single owner, you better have a big network of family and friends, because it's
all on price.
You have to be a broker.
Yeah,
if you're in insurance, like property and like car, home, and you're not using a broker, you're probably paying way more than you should,
for sure.
Yeah if you're just with State Farm, it's like, dude.
Well, we were talking last week, right, about how home ownership. So I learned this morning that if you usually have more than one claim on your home in 3-year period, that you are going to be paying $6,000-$8,000 plus a year to insure your home. And we were having the conversation about how home ownership doesn't make sense for a lot of people our age right now, considering the cost, considering the maintenance, considering the property taxes, considering everything else. It's like, it's, I don't know. Seems like a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
but all the real estate people will tell you that's the way to financial freedom.
Yeah, well, and even people that just owned one home, it's like it always goes up in value, and it does, and I do believe
it
that.
It does.
It does, right? Like the math is math.
100% it does.
But it just...
Our grandparents bought a house for $4,000. It's worth $400 now.
Yeah, but...
$1,000.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, do they actually get that, you know? Because like, how many times did they refinance? How much expenses did you go into it? Like,
correct.
I think you're more sheltered. I think that we should use the word sheltering money instead of it's like growing. Like, unless you actually buy it at a low value, make it worth more, and then let it grow. Like, you know, the saying is like, don't wait to buy and wait. You know, like the math works. It always goes up in value, but it's also, what do you value? Like, do you want to be working on your projects at your house all day long, or do you want to hang out with your kids? Do you want to have one more hour to build your business instead of doing gutting your grass or whatever?
I will say, the only thing I hate about renting is I cook all the time, so I'm a stickler for like trying to find a place that would have a nice
kitchen. Yeah.
And it's tough when you're renting.
Yeah, especially like
in
a condo
an apartment. Or in a condo, they're usually like the shitty.
Yeah.
You know, they're not great.
Yeah, 100%.
But if I had my own house, I know my kitchen would be decked. Decked out.
Same,
for sure.
Decked out. Nice oven, nice stovetop. I got the hood. I ain't smoking out my apartment room anymore. I'm done with that shit. Same. I get so mad because I cook steak all the time, and that, you know, it's a little smoky inside.
Yeah.
I always set off the alarm.
And those shitty microwave fans don't work.
Yeah. No. They just blow it into the cabinet.
Blows it into the cabinet.
Yeah.
It's so
stupid.
So
you have an oily cabinet then.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Terrible design.
That's why those ones you're talking about on the Foundry are probably 15, because they have like the stainless steel appliances and like the granite.
Still probably a
mon
of bullshit.
Yeah. But it's still probably better than like the old school ones.
Well, right now, I actually just put a maintenance request in.
Speaking of
but
now you don't got to fix it yourself.
I don't, because I'm sick. I have two burners on my stovetop that like don't 100% get lit for some reason.
Mm.
And I bitched with them like last year about, they were like, well, you know, and I put it in again. I was like, new stove.
Yeah.
Or new filaments, or come out here and figure it the hell out. This is not my problem. Yeah. But when I could only use two of my four stovetops, I get pissed.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you cooking? You need four...
Dude, sometimes I got some stuff going.
Yeah, that's how I am. I'm a big cook. I like it.
Well, if you're cooking, like, let's just say you got vegetables, you got some rice, you got some steak.
Yeah, that's three burners.
That's three right there.
Okay.
Yep.
Fair enough. I only have two that work, and they're the two front ones, which are arguably the worst ones, because you want them in the back.
Yeah.
Because the smoke goes up.
Yep.
Life's hard in the
don't get me going.
Eric yeah. Brown life.
Don't get me going.
Life's hard.
That's the only that's like the big value of buying your own place. Like having houses, you can do whatever you want to it, essentially.
Yep.
But you know.
I want to paint.
Yeah.
I'm a vibe guy. Ah, that sounded like an asshole. I'm not a vibe guy.
Yeah, that was bad.
I have like plants and stuff. I like my space like nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So of course. I invest in my space. Just because it makes me feel good.
Yeah, which is like I got art on the wall. That's the point of having a home. Otherwise, you might as well just sleep there.
Yeah, I got a shitload of plants. I got stuff all over my walls. I think it's very odd. If someone is like, let's just take it from an example. Let's just say you're a single guy. You're 28 years old, 30 years old. You're my age. You're 26, but you still look like you live in a college dorm.
Yeah. Not good.
You know, you got no back. You got no headboard, right, Matt? Matt, you got a headboard? You got a headboard on your mattress? Yes, he does. Yes. Just because he's a man. You walk, you like, if you respect
it's
yourself,
like nice.
It is. If like you respect yourself enough, don't you want to have a decent place?
Yeah.
Why do you want to be the messy guy? Like, I hate after kind of college. Like, I feel like at college, you know, you figure out the world, really. Talk to a shitload of people from all over the place. And that's why college is nice. But when you get out of college, hopefully you can get your own spot you know, you're starting to grow up. You respect your shit.
Yeah.
You start buying nicer stuff.
And you work hard for it. You're not living off your mom and dad, you know?
I hate people that are disorganized now.
Oh.
So you, like, someone invites you over to their house.
Yeah.
And you, like, walk into the living room or the kitchen. It's just a fucking disaster. It's like, what? I don't understand.
It's too easy to be clean.
It's not hard.
Yeah.
It's really not. You don't even have to clean that much. You don't have to. When you cook, you clean.
Yep, dude. Same. Oh my gosh.
But that's like if you put dishes in the sink and don't wash them like that time, you are a terrible person.
Some people are gonna hate you for this saying that.
Unless
but
you
it's
have
true.
A
grow
unless
up, you know, grow
unless
up.
You have a partner that. Is like, hey, I got this, you got that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
If that's not, but then also they're going to take care of the dishes.
Yeah. If you cook,
if you're
clean.
A single person, especially dude, I don't care about chicks. If you're a dude, turn in Andrew Tate podcast. If you're a dude and you are a dirty fucking slob, whatever you want to call him, slob.
Sure.
First of all, like, do you not have respect for yourself?
Yeah. Well, how you do one thing is how you do everything. You know?
Yes.
How you dress is how you're going to live.
Yep.
How what about your car? What does the inside of your car look like, dude?
Yep.
I just live in there. Mm-hmm. Like, some people, it's like, dude, that's investment.
I judge them by the car, too.
Yeah.
I judge them
everything.
By the car.
It's like,
now, cars are a little bit harder.
Why? You're only, if you're a single dude, you're only in one seat. Why is the whole car a mess?
Oh, that's true.
You know, like, or like, why are you, you know?
My car right now, I probably got some papers in there from networking this morning. Some business cards.
Yeah.
I got a... return a clothing item I bought that doesn't fit, but other than that, it's like when you get into someone, it's like, yo, I got you guys, let's all drive down somewhere, and then they're like, oh, hold on, I gotta clean out every seat. It's like, what is wrong with you?
Dude.
Yeah,
but how you do one thing is
living
how you
clean
do
though, living clean, like not even clean, living like non-clutter,
tidy,
non-clutter,
organized.
You're like, your brain picks up on that.
Yeah.
We are not made to have all of the shit.
Oh,
there's
dude.
No way.
Materialistic stuff. I'm no. so
like
minimalistic.
Minimalism. Yeah. Like if you're hoarding shit, it's spring cleaning time. Go into your house and throw shit out, or go donate it. Even better. If it's good enough, go donate it. Yeah. There's a ton of people in St. Louis that don't have a lot of money and that need stuff. And there's a lot of people I know that have a lot of shit that don't need it. Too much stuff. It's like, go donate
it's
it.
It's just minimalistic. or not minimalistic. You should be minimalistic. I think it's just hoarding.
Yes.
It's like material stuff. Like, that's not, like, what's the point?
Yep.
Know? Again, like I said, like, when, you know, people, if you look at when they died, what do they wish they didn't care about all that stuff?
Yep.
You know?
I have two suits right now that I need to do something with, and I don't know. I can't make a decision, and it pisses me off. Every single morning I go into my closet and see those two suits that I know that don't fit me, but they're still sitting in there because for some reason I can't just go donate them. I'm like, maybe I can get like $100. They're expensive suits.
Yeah.
But also,
they're only going to fit like one.
Resale value on a suit is nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Just donate it. Yeah. Let somebody else have it.
I need to go donate them. Yeah. I'm like, I spent a grand on that suit.
Suit supply?
Suit supply.
Yeah.
The pants don't fit me anymore. I got a booty. You know what it is. Shout out, ladies. I like that, you know?
Shout out.
What else we got?
I got.
I know we're about done on time here.
Don't hoard stuff, man. Don't hoard stuff.
No.
Yeah, I just think how you do one thing is how you do everything, and people will receive that, you know?
Yes.
It's like, you know, I don't know.
You got anything else?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
I got nothing. That was a lot of college talk.
Yeah,
I think it was good.
I did.
This was a good podcast. Hopefully some people learned some stuff. When I listen to podcasts, kind of like the conversation we had today, I think we had some informative stuff. Obviously, we have our own beliefs, opinions. Not everyone's going to agree. I think we had a good conversation.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think we did.
Yeah, man.
So hopefully everyone learned something. If you like this podcast, please like, review, subscribe, leave a comment, share to a friend. We appreciate everyone's support. We're looking for sponsors in St. Louis. If you'd like to sponsor this podcast, as I brought up before, DM us on any of the channels. You can reach out to me personally. Eric Kemp Brown across all the platforms. Our audience is St. Louis. We bring on St. Louis business owners just like Caleb himself here, and we want to support St. Louis. So if you want to get out in front of St. Louis people, let us know. Before we wrap it up, go ahead and tell the people, where can they find you at?
I'm not big on social media. I probably should be, but our company is sethealthsolutions.com. If you're a small business owner and you want to save money, if you have 10 or more employees, go to populationhealthplan.com. We can touch a lot on that, but that'll save a company $600 plus per employee per year fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guaranteed savings once I show it to you. And then it'll also increase your employees' pay by about $1,500 a year. So your company will save money. You're boosting employees' pay. You know.
Mm-hmm.
If I can say, we have a goal right now, or our 2024 goal is to impact 5,000 employees in St. Louis. We're all over the nation.
Yep.
But just in St. Louis, we're on target to hit 5,000 employees. I call it under management. That sounds like, you know, managing them, but that are on the plan.
Sure.
Which means that's going to put. I have the numbers here. Actually, I don't remember the math here. So in 2024, we're going to impact 5,000 employees in the St. Louis area, which will save businesses $6 million a year and increase the employees' pay by $11.5 million.
Let's go.
And that's going to go back in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So if you're a small business owner, you want to save money, the number one trend right now for CEOs, if you look it up on Forbes, is how to save money. That's why Tesla's laying people off. If the big guys are doing it, hopefully you don't have, like, small businesses shouldn't lay guys off. Like, that's their bread and butter. Like, don't lay your employees off. Find ways and creative ways to save money.
Yeah.
And not by chopping good things out of it. You know, there's a lot of savings you can get.
Before we get out of here, actually, one last thing. What do you think about the companies that are firing people that don't want to come back to the office?
Do it. Fire them.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, like, what your talent acquisition is. I don't know. I think you should work in an office. Reckon that's not – I'm a hypocrite because all my people
are remote.
I think
it's weird when 20 and, like, especially 20-year-olds want to work from home.
Yeah, it's like, why?
I like working from home, but – If your employer says come to work and you're like, no, I work from home.
Yeah,
no, you don't work from home. You work from where your employer tells you to.
There is a small. You know? I would love a study. If there's a study out here, please do it. Show me it.
It's got to be out there.
The majority of people are not as productive at home.
100%. 100%.
And all the employers care about is
productivity.
Productivity.
Yeah, but also engagement, because it makes you a better employee. Like, that's part of what we do is, like, if your employees are engaged, not only by being at the office, but, like, engaged in things that mean something to them. So finances, health, being educated in different things. That's what the Population Health Plan does. It's like, if they're engaged, you're going to be a better employer and they're going to like you. If we can get you out of your, if that employer, like, helps you get out of your mortgage in 5 to 7 years, which we help with, that's going to make you a better employee. And that employer, they're going to love that employer, you know? If they're just chasing for another dollar here, if, like, employees are nowadays, our culture is like they're jumping ship every 6 months.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like, why? For a couple dollars? So fix that. There's solutions out there to fix that and fix it. Employers should be more on top of, like, how to keep their employees, engage them, and actually care about them.
Well, the non-compete just got waived.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, we could talk about that. That's a big thing.
Now, shout out Will Willis, Accelerate Law here in St. Louis.
Okay.
I'm going to Venmo request you $100 as well, Will. he was actually talking this morning about about the non-competes. Now, he says that it has to hit the registrar, and then it's 120 days before it's active. So he said there may be some litigation before
it's not done yet.
Before it even goes to the registrar. Yeah. So we're still we're still like 6 months, 4 months, at least 4 months out. Well, 30, 60, 90. Yeah, 4 months. I did that math.
Yeah.
At least 4 months out. Yeah.
That's the same with that lead thing that we're talking
about.
But
I love
it. Leads.
Non-competes are bullshit. As coming from a business owner, non-competes are bullshit.
Yeah.
If you, if your best person leaves to go to a competitor,
it's your fault.
What you should have is non-disclosures in place so they can't share proprietary information.
Yeah.
But inhibiting someone from going to work in the same field that they're in is crazy.
Yeah.
Because let's just say, for example, you, right? Your main thing is insurance. Let's just say you started working for someone and they were like, listen, if you ever leave here for 2 years, you can't do insurance. Yep. You have to essentially start over.
Yeah, they I've had contracts like that. Yeah, but the I think the reason they change it is not, I don't think they care about fair or non-fair, like whoever is pushing this.
Apparently, it's going to put more money in people's pockets.
100%.
Like, it's I forget the number. Like
for
billions
people
of dollars.
Backbones, though, not the little, not the wimps. Like, but I think the thing is that their right to work laws, which have been around a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
Will outdo a non-compete or a cease and desist order.
Sure.
Insurance people love to cease and desist the crap out of you. So their right to work laws will always trump that.
Yep.
So they were just running into like, why do we have all these stupid lawsuits and all these stupid court cases about, oh, you broke your non-compete. Okay, but I have a right to work law that's way stronger. So it was a waste of time in the courts. The non-competes never even prevailed.
Yeah, non-competes usually never were upheld.
They never
anyways.
Prevailed. So it's just a waste. It's like, hey, let's just cut it out and be done.
Yeah. Yep.
And like what a smart business owner wants competition.
Yes.
You know? Like
they 100%. Also, I think when a company, I saw companies do non-competes. How do I say this? If you are a company that has been in the attitude of always having non-competes for your employees, you're probably not the best company because you're worried about everyone leaving.
Yeah, exactly. It's their fault. It's your fault. That's why, like, engage your employees.
And people leaving, it's like, that's part of life.
Yeah.
You expect everyone to work at a place their whole life?
Some people, I mean, that was the mindset back in the day.
And I honestly, it makes a lot of sense. It does.
Yeah.
It does. If you could find a good company, why would you want to move around all the time?
Yeah.
Unless it's obviously for more money.
Yeah.
But if you're getting more money, go back to your current employer. Be like, hey, just so you know, I love it here, but I have an opportunity to make, you know, 10% or 5% more. Not only will the employer respect you, but you might get what you want if you're an important enough person on the team.
Yeah.
If not, more.
Yeah. Which
you go, hey, I'm getting, you know, I got an offer 5% more. It's like, psh.
Yeah.
That's not only will we pay that, but we'll do 10%.
Yeah, that's a whole topic there. But I think, and there's probably a study out this. I'm just pulling this out of what I think. But like, I think employers 100% will pay people more if they are asking for it and they show that they're worth it. It's all about the value you bring. So stop thinking like an employee and that, oh, I can go get a dollar more hourly over there. Start thinking about how can I bring value to this company?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like if you were, you know, there's like companies like there's a service-based companies that are like hourly, but then their hourly is based on like the sales of the last couple of months or whatever, like, and they're blowing up. The ones that are stuck to just the hourly rates, it's like your guys are not motivated to do
100%.
You know?
So I just found this. Well, I just refound this. So it says, I've always seen many people say I ain't do a single. This is a comment on Instagram. I've always seen many people say I'm not going to do a single thing extra till I get paid. They're usually stuck at the same position for a long time.
Yep.
Sounds about right.
It's ones that do extra before they get paid that are going to the top.
Yep.
That's how so if you're looking for a job, if you're trying to get a job, if you're trying to get a better job, one thing I could say for certain is if you go out of your way to provide value before you ever get hired, that is the easiest way. Mm-hmm. That is the easiest way to get hired.
Yep.
100%.
Yeah.
And
if you're in a position, ask the boss, hey, what could I do? I just taught this to a kid the other day, if I say it correctly. It's like, how can I be guaranteed to be in the position that'll bring the most value to the company?
Mm-hmm.
That manager, if he's anything smart, or that owner, CEO, will be like, what you just asked, how can I guarantee you to be in a position that brings the most value to my company?
Yep.
Let's go.
That's, yes.
Why? Okay. Because they don't care about the money because it's always a return. If I pay you $100,000 a year, I'm making $300,000 on you.
Correct.
If you know how to structure your business.
Correct.
You know? So it's like the employees just need to get educated and be like, Yep. How can I be guaranteed to be in a position that's going to bring the most value to this company?
I think we've like come under the impression that like work isn't an important part of life.
That's the greatest, like, a gift, man. It's the greatest gift of God, almost, besides salvation.
It's
or
like
kids.
It's like a like, third part. It's like a third of your life. Work,
yeah.
Family and friends. I don't even know what the other third is. People say God or religion or whatever, yeah. But like
but in terms part of your family and
in terms of time,
yeah,
a third of your day is working.
Maybe more.
A half of your awake time is working.
Yeah.
But it's not a part of. It's not one of the more important parts of your life. Like.
Yeah, but people are, there's certain powers or people that are trying to make it, like they're trying to make it not important.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it values them. I don't know how that works, you know? Like a working society is a thriving one, and other countries and other things don't want Americans to be thriving.
I think not the government, whoever's in charge of not only the United States but the world wants everyone reliant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, drifters. They don't want drifters.
We don't, yes, they want, yeah. Yeah. They don't want business owners.
All right.
Because we're independent. We don't need you. We don't want you.
Yeah.
We definitely don't want you to be taking all our money.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
You know, but all the government tax codes, if not, you know, are written for people, business owners that take advantage of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so, yeah, I don't know. Just educate yourself.
We'll solve the tax problem on the next episode. All right, real quick. Again, if you would, say your domain, say the websites where people could find you at. We'll put them in the descriptions as well so everyone can find them.
So sethealthsolutions.com.
Perfect.
Or calebknuth.com. We're also taking everything I have.
Okay. Yep. Wonderful. Well, Caleb, it was a pleasure having you on. However, that is all the time we have for this week. We will be back next week. New episode, new guests, and more of myself and Adam here. If you're watching live or later, we said something wrong, said something you hate, or said something you want to hear more about, we hit on a couple of those.
Yeah.
Leave us a comment. DM myself. Adam Ferris here, he would love to get some hate on Instagram, so feel free to send him some hate.
That's right.
Finally, we recorded this episode at Half Coast Studios. Look at this beautiful stand that's no longer in the way of my face. This is great. If you're looking for a professional RAN studio, shout out to the guys at Half Coast Studios. They're here in Creve Coeur, halfcoaststudios.com. You got Matt back there spinning the ones and twos. You also got Alex and the team making sure you're well taken care of. The audio and video are, you know, 99% of the time on point.
Top tier. So
sometimes a little bit off. I like it. All right. It's been a pleasure talking to you today, Caleb. Thank you for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being fluid, by the way. I know we had to move some stuff around, so I appreciate that. Yeah. We'll see everyone again next week, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Peace.
Cool. Let's get it.
See you.
Hey there, St. Louis podcast listeners. We've got some exciting news from our sponsor, Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, led by the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Lee. Mark Lee of Farmers Insurance is recruiting agency owners here in St. Louis.
That's right, Garrett, and everyone knows what Farmers Insurance is, and if they don't, they will now.
Yes, it's kind of a household name. That said, as many of you know, a large part of our audience is made up of badass business owners, entrepreneurs, and top-producing sales professionals with an open mind like yourself. Farmers Insurance is currently searching for driven individuals who aspire to own their own business or already own their own business and want to add another income stream to join the Farmers Insurance brand and own their own insurance agency.
This is a stellar opportunity to build your own insurance agency from scratch, take over an existing agency, or if you're just a slow roller, we know you, the guys out there and ladies, get paid to train under an existing successful agency owner before starting your own.
Holy shit, Eric. That means that whether you have experience as a business owner or you've never heard the word business before in your life, there's a pathway to owning your own business through Farmers Insurance Agency led by Mark Lee.
That's right. You can become a Farmers Insurance business owner even if you've been homeless in the past, just like you.
Yeah, thanks.
If you've ever dreamt of being your own boss, building a team under a reputable brand, and making a difference in your community by offering top-tier auto, home, and commercial insurance to consumers and businesses in your area, Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, led by the godlike man himself, Mark Lee, has the perfect opportunity for you.
Visit insurancecareerstl.com to speak with Mark Lee, the district manager of Farmers Insurance of St. Louis, to become a Farmers Insurance agency owner today.
Did you hear that, St. Louis? Go visit insurancecareerstl.com. Insurancecareerstl.com. That is INSURANCE. Career, CareerStl.com.
To become a business owner today, again, one more time, visit InsuranceCareerStl, as in St. Louis.com today, right now, this second, or reach out to us at stlouispodcast.com and we'll introduce you to Mark Lee ourselves. And I promise he won't spell out insurance and career to you.